Blog Talk Radio.
Looking out for you now. Finally prioritized, and I knew you would, but could say something. Sometimes it's better when you yell than when you say nothing. But y'all getting tired of explaining everything that you need. More water, less stress, more sex, more carefree. Don't wanna hurt no more, not over me. Cause I'm not worth it and this ain't working and running out of words again. And now that you know you are better than I was ready for, it's not like before.
thousand times. The cost was fine, I draw the line. I'm back, relapse, I'm fainting. Yes, what's that? The fact I'm drinking.
Coconut oil, the scent of your body still lingers on sheets. I got a shot at you, you wanna reach? Cop that trigger release. Pop that top, take a sip of your holiest water. I know I'm a part of your flow now. Tell me you cut it, no matter you love her. Now you got part of a soul now. I ain't know them, but I know now. Apology dude, one in a few. The ones I ran through, but never loved you. I pray you found peace and you cold now. I'm doing better, I got me a chocolate bar. Climbing on top of the bar. Think of the shape of the lick in the places you only gon' lick when you rock with a fuck. Ever.
If you sit down for me, then Good evening, good evening, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network. Tonight, it's Let's Talk About It, where we do date night differently. The dial-in number, if you're listening in online, is 319-527-6300. And please press 1 when you get here. If you're already here and you desire to talk about it, go ahead and press that 1. Tonight's show is sponsored by Raw Links. Why be average when you can be raw? I got mine. You got yours? Tonight's topic of discussion of the evening, I don't know if you saw the flyer or if you got tagged, but it's the hot seat. I'm in the hot seat. So you can ask me whatever question you'd like, but it's hot seat with a twist. So whatever question you ask me, you must be also prepared to answer the same question yourself. After all, it is Let's Talk About It, right? So I don't have a question that I'm going to ask myself, so I'm going to go ahead and jump right into my piece. But before I do that, let's give a huge shout-out to our illustrious CEO, none other than author Larry Maddox, for giving us this platform, Epiphany Radio. But he also gives us something else, y'all. He also takes his time to perform other tasks and be creative in other ways. That's right. He is also the CEO of Raw Links. Hit the brother up and get you some Raw Links. Or just say thank you for Epiphany Radio. Thanks goes a long way. So, you know, in this show we get pretty transparent. And I've written a transparent piece that I said after I wrote it, why did I write this? But I'm going to share it with you anyways. It's called Uncontrolled Growth. Give me 1 second. I got to make sure I'm not interrupted. Okay. Somewhere between the morning dew and the mist of the angels, tears from heaven was a waterfall of delight in you. Then the pores of my love began to open up in the view. The view from heaven told me that you are the one, and I'm done. Done fighting with myself, my heart, my emotions. You are my favorite, my everyday solution. To turn on the switch to my desires, and it has been reactivated. I never want it turned back off or deactivated. The rain started pouring and life started crashing down, and I was confused about what was happening all around. I just thought it'd be best to just shut down and wrap myself up in a cocoon of loneliness and solitude, and soon, just like a newborn baby, a new birth in the midst of a never-ending death. And lately, I just want to be free of the shackles of heartache that has plagued me because I've been hurt and just wanted to hate. All there is about this thing called love, even though it's ordained by God above, so in the interim of me finding myself again, I still cry. It's just when no one is around but me and my Heavenly Father, and then me and the angels wipe away the tears, dust off the darts that has been stuck in my flesh for years, hoping and praying I can be consumed with love and passion better than before. Because I deserve the abundance of life I've been promised, and I want more, just so I can pour into another soul. The love locked away in me that's growing out of control. And that's that piece. Whew. I hope y'all enjoyed that. I hope y'all enjoyed that. But again, it's the hot seat, y'all. It is the hot seat with a twist. So I really hope you're ready, because I know I'm ready. I'm ready. Let's go ahead and open up these mics so we can definitely talk about it. First up on the mic is one half host of the Erotic Love Zone and the host of Poetic Therapy. Ladies and gentlemen, I give to you La Pearl La Negra. Hey, Danielle.
Hey, man. How you doing?
How you doing?
Oh, God.
Welcome back. That's right. I'm here on the talk about it, too.
Oh,
how you doing?
No. I'm good. That piece was really, really beautiful. That opening line was so, oh my God, that was really, that was, I don't even know, I have a word for it, but it was really, really nice.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I didn't want to do it after I wrote it. I didn't want to share it, but maybe someone needs it more than me, so.
Yeah, you know. And this shit out here in this world, man, we are telling somebody's story, answering somebody's questions, all of it.
Absolutely. I see what you did there. Y'all see what you did there?
What happened?
It's all good. All good. It's all good.
What?
But thank you for... But thank you for dating me this evening. I really appreciate it, although I know I can't have you to myself because there is a horde of well-armed gentlemen giving me the evil eye even as we speak. But they're going to have to wait because we got some things that we got to handle over here first. They're going to have to wait. You know, they're getting just as impatient as Kalinda. Oh, my God.
Their reason for impatience is a little bit different. Theirs is, hers is on the romantic tip, okay? So I understand her. These guys, they got a little spoiled with me giving them my time and stuff. That's pretty much what that is. So,
yeah.
But it's still impatience.
Yeah, much impatience, much impatience. But it's all right. So, now that you're here, and we're here, how about, you got something for me? You got something for me?
Yeah. As my niece say, yes, my do. So, well, her little country self. So.
All right. Let's go ahead. Let's hear what you have for me.
All right. I tried to make it fair because I don't want to ask no questions that I don't want to answer. I don't want to answer myself. So
that's right.
I figured this was fair. Okay.
Okay.
If you were offered the resources and the opportunity to go back in time and prevent what went wrong in your relationship, would you do it over?
Yes,
okay.
I would.
Okay.
And the reason for that being, there are children's lives at stake.
Mm-hmm.
My children. So I would do anything to go back in time and prevent the heartache that my children had to endure from past relationship decisions where... I could have responded better. I could have done something better, maybe. But, yes, I would.
Okay. Now he's clearing his throat.
So, La Pearl, the nigga, of course, I said this is the hot seat with a twist, didn't I, y'all? I did say that.
Yes.
Yeah. So the same question back to you, except which relationship in particular would you go back in time and fix?
I would go back into a certain time in my marriage, and mine also has definitely to do with my children's mental welfare and their protection. I would have responded differently, and reacted differently, with certain actions that were taken by my husband that caused a lot of mental stress and some damage to my kids. Not that it wasn't unrepairable, but it took a lot of time to get to where they are now, the relationship that we have, because of the damage that was done by him. And it's worse when it's intentional. When you're not aware of it, you have a tendency to want to rectify it and make it right. But when you are purposely setting out to do damage because you can't get your way, it has a long-term effect. So, yeah, I would definitely go back in my marriage to a certain point.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to have my twist. Now that we've gotten that dialogue out of the way. Hey, great question. Thank you for not making it so awkward. Ladies and gentlemen, do you see how easy that is? Yeah. It doesn't have to be a hard question. It can be something so cool.
It is scary, though. It is scary because I'm like, shit. For real. Because you don't know how you're going to respond, man.
I mean, I'm going to respond to the question how y'all give it to me. You know, that's all I can
now,
do, right?
I didn't know how I was going to respond.
Oh, yeah. That part. Yeah. Go ahead.
You know, the energy is different when the question is actually posed to you. You don't feel it like you do when you're asking the question until you hear it from somebody else coming back at you. Okay.
All right. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, what did you bring for us this evening?
Okay, so I didn't write. I apologize, but I have something. I didn't write anything. I was writing, but it's not finished, and I'm not going to give y'all just those few little lines. So I'm going to this piece, and I'll give y'all that later on, the other piece.
All right, I love it. Well, go ahead. The mic is yours.
Thank you. Time doesn't exist. Clocks were invented to give us an imaginary space to organize our duties. Nature's beauty, now that is the handwriting of God. This is me. I know who I am. I know that I was born of passions and fire, and through the ashes uncovered, simplicity emerged into a world of chaotic, misunderstood imbalance. I had to experience spiritual bankruptcy in order to understand that I am from the light of the Most High and I am power beyond measure. I had to learn to love myself. And now I bring peace through my chaos because I know that we must weather the winter in order to enjoy the spring. I am the fit. My strength is like water. I adjust and adapt. Like the ocean, I keep flowing. I have no obstacles, and the tides turn for me. So understand that even in chaos, my spirit remains beautiful. Because like the sun, I can be alone and still shine as bright as ever. I'm a free spirit. I need relating, not solitude. So transparency is an aphrodisiac for my soul because what's on your face isn't always what's in your heart. My soul knows it was born to use one mic, and my poetry is my passion. So if you want to know me, write your story across my heart. Scribe it within the rhythmic beats right between the soul and ego and just let go. We are all broken, and the pieces will be put back together. But it takes a lot of love for me to give you access to my heart. See, if I long for you, I have a desire for you. I do want you, but I don't need you. I have what I need. And if you can give me friendship, respect, reliability, compassion, and transparency through the purity of love, I can share in my love with you. And that's that piece.
Wow. I really enjoyed this piece. There were so many lines in here. Can you run me back that line where you talk about you need relatability and not solitude?
Okay, yeah.
Aphrodisiac. I might have just said the whole line, but can you run that back for me, please?
Oh, yeah. I'm a free spirit. I need relating, not solitude. So transparency is an aphrodisiac for my soul because what's on your face isn't always what's in your heart.
Mm.
And that's true with people.
Mm. My God, that is so true. If you could only know, sometimes my facial expressions really doesn't tell you exactly what I'm thinking. But my God, that is a powerful line in that piece. That one grabbed me and just held on to me for a little bit. The whole piece was dynamic. But those lines
Thank
right
you.
There, I felt those lines. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Awesome. I'm going to tell you something. You got, for the first time calling AC your show, you got me nervous. Because that question kind of rattled me a little bit. But I'm good
question.
Now. I'm calming down.
Your question.
I know. But when you say things, when people say things like hot seat, it puts them in a box. And they feel like, oh, my God, I have to. If I'm going to indulge in this, if I'm going to engage this person, I have to
figure
something out.
Well, see, that's because most of the time when people are put in the hot seat, it's because y'all want to be nosy and all in their personal life. That's why. But nah.
Oh,
I'm going to give it back to you. You want to be nosy and all in my personal life? We're going to go there with yours, too. So I hope you like being open. I hope you like it. But before, fellas, y'all going to have to wait. Cool your testosterone. I got some, too. So cool yours. Can you let everybody know what you got going on before I have to raise up on a security team? Could you please let everybody know what you got on your radio?
I sure can. Ladies and gentlemen, alternating Saturday nights with Poetic, I am the host of Poetic Therapy, and that's a place where you can come and relieve some mental stress through some open mic poetry and some healthy conversation. Now, every Wednesday night at 9, child, I am one half host of the Erotic Love Zone, where I co-host with my sexy, sultry voice diva, Ms. VIP. Now, of course, y'all know how we are. We like to tease. So the topic is up in the air. But I'm sure whatever we come up with, y'all going to love it. So y'all come on by Wednesday night and get caught up in the Erotic Love Zone. Back to you, Poetic.
Thank you so much. Y'all, listen, if y'all don't come through the Erotic Love Zone, man, that is the place where you can get your pen wet. Y'all know I like metaphors, so you go ahead and think about that. But, all right, I'm gonna get you an over to the VIP lounge. Tonight's champagne is imported from Dubai. So please,
Ooh.
Get on over there. Have your glass and pull the curtains too if you need to. Yeah, because they getting aggy. All right. One love, one mic.
Thank you. One love, one mic.
And take your socks off. Ladies and gentlemen, that is La Perla. La Negra on her way to the VIP lounge to indulge in the imported champagne and hang out with the security team, y'all. Let's keep this party going. Next up on the mic, we have Amelia T. Davis, a.k.a. Poetical Angel Queen. Welcome, Amelia.
Good evening, King.
Guess what? Guess what?
What?
Guess what? We in the hot seat tonight, baby. It's the hot seat.
Hotter the better, you know that.
Absolutely, but remember, whatever question you ask me, you must also be prepared to answer yourself with a twist. Are you ready?
And oh, yeah.
Are you ready?
Oh.
What is
so
your question?
My question is, projecting into the future, do you foresee yourself ever marrying again?
No. Because you said something there. You said, do I see myself ever marrying again? And my emphatic answer is no. I have too much emotional trauma from being married twice and divorced twice. So I therefore would not see myself married again. Now, there's an old adage that says that if you think you won't do something, go ahead and tell God your plans and watch you change them. So that's why I say I don't see it happening, right? Great question. Now, let me turn the tables with a twist. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Do you foresee yourself in the foreseeable future ever marrying again? And this time, would he be black or white? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. A little bit of mic came out of me just then. I'm sorry. My bad.
I go ahead. You know me well. Now, you know the answer to the flavor. That don't even have to be said. As far as the marriage part, I would pray and hope that someone special that would be the right person for me would step into my life at some point. So I'd say yes, most certainly. And to be specific and clear, just in case somebody on the other side of this mic doesn't know who I am, what I stood for, or anything else, that answer would be black.
All right now. Okay. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Mic came out again. That's what I'm talking about. Great response. See, it's not that hard, y'all. It's not that hard. The questions aren't that bad. Don't be shy. Go ahead and press one. Don't be shy. Right in the middle, you tell them. Go ahead and press one.
Press one, go for it. But, you know, with that said, there's been discussions about skin tone. So it doesn't matter how light-skinned he is or how dark-skinned he is, black.
All right. We hear you. Woo-hoo. She like that chocolate flavor, y'all. That's what I'm talking about. Now that we've gotten through that part,
mm-hmm.
What did you bring?
You know what piece I ought to bring is the one called For You, but I'm not going to. This piece right here is called Allow Me to Be Your Closely Guarded Secret.
All right. Mic is yours.
King, I know you can keep secrets. It's one of your passions. Yet, I want to be the secret you hold close to your heart. Stimulate me with your exquisite words. Take me to paradise with your voice, melodic and smooth. A rhapsody to my heart. Keep our connection and conversations top secret. Hold me safe deep within the 33rd chambers of your heart. Allow our love to flow upon the ubiquitous, dancing upon the spiritual realm of our union, not just physical, but of heart and soul. Swirling upon the universe as our united forces of king, queen, bring romance everlasting. Keep me locked away from prying eyes as you speak each syllable into my waiting heart. King, I see your diamond shining brightly. I don't need diamond rocks, gold jewelry, animal fur, fancy cars, or large bank accounts. All those are nice, but what I desire above all else is your heart of gold, the speed in which you sweep me off my feet, keeping me warm with your warm smile and keeping me satisfied with your large desire for my body's delight. When our lips touch, the electric current will overflow, sending nerve endings into overdrive, causing pulsating heat to the southern regions, pulling me into your embrace where I feel protected for once in my life, knowing you will stand as sentry over my heart, mind, and soul. Our bodies are on fire from the passion coursing from our hearts. We can wait no longer. You begin to undress me, kissing each area that becomes exposed to your view. This union I've waited for so endlessly. I'm so moist at your butterfly kisses upon my naked flesh. Your chocolate desire is protruding against my navel. This dance is throbbing with pure lust only two in love can have. Slowly, you lay me back upon our bed, opening my gates of heavenly enchantment. I eagerly group for your chocolate, placing it into the deepest part of the peachy fire. I let out a moan, calling your name, my beloved chocolate king. Stroking slowly and stimulating the moisture into hot, sizzling nectar, we become one. Throbbing, pulsating, dripping, consumption of each other's essences, kissing my neck and breast as you upon continue to grind into the peach's flame. Now I'm screaming your name so loud we can hear the neighbors whispering. She has finally found her mate. Flip me over and now you're driving hard and fast. Pull my hair, slapping my behind for good measure, riding me like your mare of passion. My moan and talking is taking on the sounds of animalistic proportions. As we together climax into the stars, we collapse into a heap of naked, sweating bodies. Our marriage bed has now been sealed with the desire of our flesh and hearts, catapulting us into forever. Locked away from all others, our love shall be our secret that we protect, serve, enlighten, encourage, bringing power, strength, and desire that is ours alone. Soulmates destined by heavenly proclamation, our union forever blessed, our love, strength, and desire locked away into the treasure chest of our souls, our secrets prized and guarded. Musings of Emilia T. Davis, a.k.a. Poetical Angel Queen. and peace.
All right. All right, Amelia. All right. Putting all that stuff out into the universe. Whew. I remember this piece. I think you did this on the Get Down, if I'm not mistaken. Very nice. Very nicely done. Great job. Great job.
I appreciate that.
All right. Now we're going to get you.
Actually,
yes.
It's several years old, to be exact, but yes, you have heard it before. Thank you so much. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic. Get over there to the VIP, get you some champagne, and stick around and enjoy the rest of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, on her way to the VIP lounge, that is Amelia T. Davis. All right. Let's keep this party going, man. Y'all making a hot seat real easy for a brother, and I appreciate it. Next up on the mic, my East Coast go-go brother, Mr. Automatic Charismatic. What's good with you, bro?
What's up, man? You know, freestyle is on Sundays, you know.
Oh, man.
You and Divine Inspiration, y'all give inspiration. Divine Inspiration, and y'all do.
I have it under good authority that Divine Inspiration will do two freestyles this Sunday. One for him and one for me.
Okay, I'm okay.
Paul Sampson, thank you, good brother. Thank you for volunteering.
Throw him on the bus. Oh, thank you. Woo. Oh, I got a question for you. Somebody had to do it.
All right, go.
I got one.
I'm on the hot seat. Now, just remember the disclaimer. You're going to get that same question back.
All right.
With the twist. All right.
And let me say this, because I know I'm going to have to answer this. I do have a woman, but I'm going to answer it anyway.
My brother, go ahead, bro. What you got for me?
Which queen poet has the sexiest voice?
Oh, that's easy. Man, that's easy. Let me clear my throat for this one. She is none other than Miss VIP. Hey, Adrian. Yeah, that's the one for the win. She has the sexiest poetry voice. Ooh, my God. Mm-mm-mm.
Okay.
She can read to me
all day, every day. Okay, you know what? I could put her up there. She's up there. But to me.
No, sir, my brother. No, sir. No,
sir. Oh, yeah, you got to ask me. Go ahead, ask me.
I'm going to ask you with a twist. Are you ready?
Oh, my God. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead, now, my brother.
which female poet has the sexiest voice for you of the past?
Of the past?
Yes, sir.
Hmm. That passed on or still living?
They could be still living, but it has to be someone from the past. It can't be someone who is currently of the – I'll put it this way. Maya Angelou, Zora Neale Hurston, past poets. They could be living or they could have passed on to the next life. Yeah. Come on, go. Spin them wheels, brother.
Man,
spin them wheels.
I had somebody in mind.
Of course you did. That's why we changed the game. We had to throw in a twist. You was all ready to give your present day poet. We're not going there, bro. Go back.
Ooh, golly. It's sexy woman. You know, that sounds like a Jeopardy. Dang. Because she's still living, right?
She can be.
I'm going to go with my buddy. Miss T is queen. I'm I'm going to go with my friend. My friend, go with her. She got like a little Chicago.
You have failed the question. You have failed the question.
Oh, hold on. I'm trying to understand. You said of the past.
I'll put it this way. One that has came before you, that have paved the way for you.
Oh.
Nikki Giovanni.
Ooh. Yeah, I know about Nikki Giovanni.
I can give you one, but it's not my choice to give you one. It's not my turn to give you one. Because, see, if I'd have been asked that question with a twist, I probably would have said Jill Scott. Because, my God. But, see,
God dang, that's a good answer. Like Family Feud. Good answer.
Yeah, it is. So I had to answer his question for him.
I mean, Jill Scott. Ooh, Jill Scott. I love my woman, but yeah, I like Jill Scott.
All right, Bobo. Great question.
You know what?
Now.
You know what I was going to say?
What's up, bro?
You know what I was going to say before you did that, though? For the present, I was going to say the Southern Belle. Serena. I was going to say her.
Serena Butterfly?
I like that. I love country.
I love the country.
Sultry.
Yeah.
Hello,
That would be a good collab piece. I'm putting this out in the universe. Miss VIP, Serena Butterfly, and then throw Jill Scott in with her poetry as like a recorded piece. Oh, man, blended in with them. Oh, my God, I would lose it. I probably wouldn't even come out
now,
of the house for a week.
You know who you need to blend that in. You should
get
C double 34. My big brother too. My big brother
C double 34. I'm gonna see if I can't make that happen. Miss VIP,
yeah.
I know you hear me. I'm gonna reach out to Butterfly. I'm gonna see if we can't make that happen because I think that would be dynamite.
I'm throwing C double 34. Music or under the bus too. See?
Yeah, that's right.
You might be listening.
No, he's not here.
I'm safe then.
You safe. Yeah, you safe. But my go-go brother. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, man, are you going to freestyle or are you going to read a piece tonight? What you going to do tonight?
You know what? this is a poem for all the country girls, all my country black women. I love mine. But the country sexy boys. So, all right,
Mike,
I'm going to say, the name of this freestyle is going to be called Sexual Country. The way that you are so smooth, I had to include your vibe. You came down here talking to me, with your vibe is a country type of excellence. May I include you into my dance? May I be the man to make you want to take a chance. Your sexual country got me feeling real tight. It makes me want to go ahead and give that insight. Oh, country girl, you got that feeling. You make my smile want to jump up to the ceiling. You just got that country side, that country flow. You make me just want to grow. I see you. I want to lick you up and down. I want to go ahead and drive to the edge and right down to the lounge. I need you to be a part of my country playground. my sexual country, my sexual content. You know, we are grown. Let's go ahead and ignore the nonsense. You see, I want to show ahead, give you my dominance. Right now, it appears to be right from the audience. Just you and I, all day long, grip wet, so strong. You just set your country, and I love a southern taste. When I seen your smile, it's written all over your face. And this automatic charismatic lyrical inch, 10 gears in, I'm all in, wipe and drive.
Okay, my go-go. Okay, go-go. I see what you did there. I wanted to lick you up and down. It's written all over your face. A few choice song selections up in there. I see what you did there. Country girls. Country girls.
Well, you know, it's written all over. You know, what was it? Breaky Beverly Mays made that song, Southern Girl.
Southern
yeah,
Girl,
I know,
yeah.
Amy, I know you know.
Southern Girl. Yeah,
yeah.
I know it.
Southern Girl. That's what I'm talking about. For all the cats that was around there, you know, for all the cats. I was youngin'. I was real young. I was real, real young when that song came out. You know what I mean? You know. There wasn't no freestyles back then. Yeah. Yeah,
oh,
man. But I'm enjoying the show, bro. You know what I mean?
Hey,
that, you know,
brother.
One thing I will say is, you are very talented when it comes to topics, man. Your mind's a gift, man. That's a freestyle. You just freestyle that topic.
I appreciate that, bro.
Me a
freestyle. I really do. My man. I appreciate that, man. When it comes to topics, man, I really think about everyone else and more so what I want to know, what I would like to know. And just to create some dialogue between us as poets, because we're people, too. We're not just poets. We're people. And we have everyday lives, and we should be able to have conversations and talk about things, and then do poetry, you know, because we're people, man, and we all need to be loved on at some point.
Right.
So I appreciate that, brother. I really do.
Well, much love. One love, one freestyle, one mic, and I see you Sunday with the anointed freestyle.
Absolutely, my go-go brother.
Dude,
I get two, right? Yeah, Paul will give you two. Yeah, Paul's going to give you two. Yeah.
Oh, what about you? What about you?
He's going to do one for me. He's going to do one for me. He's going to do one for me. Yeah, he got us both. Yeah. Yeah.
Call Pastor. He's listening.
I'm gonna hear about this later. but get on over there to the VIP lounge, my go-go brother.
Okay.
One love, one mic. All right,
my go-go brother. One love, one mic.
Oh man, ladies and gentlemen, that's our brother, Mr. Automatic Charismatic. We're gonna go to this next caller, see who we have here on the mic. Welcome to Let's Talk About It. I know who this is, man, but listen, you gotta let the world know who you are, man, because this is a treat and an honor to have you here, man.
My name is Oladele Malewa Ngozi.
My man. The CEO, Damon Network, O-N-E, my brother. How you doing, man?
Hey, man, we're named WBNN now. We are the Belly Nation Network. I'm just proud to be here. I don't always call into shows unless, you know, I'm trying to get things going to the International Radio Hall of Fame, which I have to do that on a constant basis 5 days a week, as well as run my own network. But it is a pleasure to be here at the Epiphany, where
man,
I believe I'm loved.
To have you, brother.
Shout out to the great, you know, Larry Maddox, Mr. For Real himself, For Real the Poet. Of course, a great friend of mine, Miss Danielle Cheney, y'all know her as the Great Pearl. And then, of course, shout out to WBNN alum Paul Sampson and the man I'm speaking to right now, the outstanding Mr. Van Meadows, Poetic Himself.
Oh, man, I'm humbled. Thank you so much, man. Hey, man, you're outstanding, too. You know, you doing amazing things on your network, man. And we salute you for keep grinding in the face of adversity. in the midst of life, man, you still keep it going, brother. So we salute you as well, brother.
I appreciate it, man. You know, I'm calling in from Laramie, Wyoming, one of my homes, and just get a chance to, you know, because, I'm a farmer and a cattleman. So, I'm just trying to make sure I got a chance to ride some of my horses today. It's just wonderful
That's awesome, man. That's awesome.
Yes, you know, and like I said, a lot of times when I get a chance to retire from a lot of things, man, you know, Wyoming is my home.
Man, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. And I know you get a great sense of peace when you're out there just among the nature and just doing what you love doing, man. That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, ever since I was a kid, man, you know, wanting to be a horticulturist and, you know, grow my own food and, you know, and raise my own, you know. It's just wonderful to see, you know, things that you have taken time. You know, it's funny. And I talked about this on my own network, man, about 9 months ago. I got a chance to actually bring one of my horses into the world.
Wow. Oh, man,
it's nasty.
Congratulations,
man. That's a nasty experience, man. I mean, you know, it's nasty. I said, you know, I'll just let the hands handle that because I ain't doing that no more. That's dead. But I had that experience. You know what I mean? You know, I'm not going to bungee jump, but, you know, like I said, man, I get a chance to just be at home, and I got an announcement to make, too, here, that even my own people don't even know. I got a call, but we'll talk about that right before I go into, you know, back there with security and drink a little bit of that stuff from Dubai.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You got to get you some, man. Get you some. But
any questions you want to ask me, sir?
No, you got to. You got to give me your question. I'm going to ask you one, but you got to give me yours because I'm in the hot seat. Whatever question you want to ask me.
We're going to talk broadcasting. What gives you the fire to do what you do on a constant basis and also gives you the energy to have outstanding penmanship in your spoken word?
Oh, man. Okay. Broadcasting. What gives me the fire to be able to do it? Is the people, I'll be honest.
Okay.
Because
that's wonderful.
Night,
I like that already.
Yeah, each night, each day, people change. Some people like to stay the same, but the evolving and the changing of people in their minds every week, every show, it just gets more and more exciting. You know, it's like, man, I'm like, what am I going to hear today? What type of quality content can I deliver for them to want to be able to open up to me to pour themselves out? You know?
Oh, yeah,
so
I like that.
That's what keeps me going. As far as my pen, man, my pen is inspired by life. Everything that I see, everything that I do, and I always try to be better. I said this not too long ago on another show that I try to make every one of my poems better than the last one. And it's very rare that you'll hear the same poem from me twice because I'm always in writing mode because there's too much happening in life for me to ignore it. And my brain is in overload because I got to get it out. So.
Yes. I love that.
Now.
I love that. I love that. And then before you ask me, you know, your question,
yes,
you know, you're one of the people that I really admire. Because of your body of work and, of course, your longevity. But that's secondary. I want everybody that's in the listening ear of this outstanding network, Epiphany, to understand the man, the father, you know, the true gentleman of the mic, Cool Breeze, as I call him. You are an inspiration. And I tell you that because I hear shows. From, you know, on a constant basis here at Epiphany. I never tell you when I call in, but I wanted to make sure tonight because I'm off. You know, I don't do shows on Saturdays. You know, I'm on 6 days a week. But when I come on to this outstanding network and to hear you and Amelia and, of course, my girl Danielle and, you know, and even Mr. Automatic Charismatic, you know, who's helped me out tremendously in our network in the growth era. You're just a good man. And I think that's the highest compliment I can give you. You are a outstanding human being that loves people, above all, loves family, If you don't love your family, you can't love anyone around. You can't love anybody around. I always say the charity starts at home, and you can always bridge forth a great community if you are charitable at home, being the father, disciplinarian, and a listener to the kids. And that's something you are. You teach your children, and I'm very proud of you.
Thank you. I appreciate that, man. I'm humbled. I appreciate the kind sentiments, man, but there is no greater calling in my life than to be a dad and a father to my children.
Yes, indeed. Shout out to my son, University of California, Chef, my son, Jamir, who lives in San Francisco. So proud.
Yes, sir, absolutely, because we have enough absent fathers from children's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a promise and a commitment 26 years ago when my first son was born that I would never, ever be absent in his life, nor any of my children next, because that is vitally important, that I raise a man that society can be proud of and a daughter that no man will take advantage of.
Yes. Yes. And that's the way it is.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, my brother,
mm-hmm.
back to you. What keeps you going in journalism? What keeps you going in broadcasting? What keeps you doing what you do on a consistent basis? Because you know what? You say that in all of your shows when you're exiting out, a consistent basis. So, brother, what is that for you?
Well, it's never disrespecting the mic and holding people accountable that are around you not to disrespect it. A lot of people say I'm a hard taskmaster, and, you know, we have a whole, you know, sometimes we have intern shows because people won't, you know, step up to that basis. We have a lot of different hosts that understand, you know, a commitment to excellence, and that's what, you know, I really believe in. I really got that from the great, you know, Al Davis. You know, the owner of my favorite team, you know, the Las Vegas Raiders, or he's going on now. Mark Davis is the owner now, but Al Davis was the, you know, general managing partner. May he rest in peace, who really loved people, didn't care about people's color. He only wanted the best people around him, no matter what they are or who they are and where they came from. And I've modeled my life in, you know, in the business sense after Al Davis, a commitment to excellence. But the disrespect in the mic, I can't tolerate. Because one thing that, you know, I've learned in almost 10 years of broadcasting, that is you have to be consistent. You know, always believe that, you know, you never have time for rebuilding, because rebuilding affords no such luxury. Time and time again, you must retool for a commitment to excellence that bridge the gulf and shines a beacon light around the world. And I do believe that. You have to love what you're doing. If you love what you're doing, you'll work a day in your life. And in broadcasting, I have never worked, not one night or one day, in my whole entire career, as you know, CEO, when we had our chief managing partners of Looking Glass Entertainment, and now owning my proprieties and multimedia entities, you know, it came with hard work, determination, and I never missed a night on broadcasting. I never missed a night since you know, since October 4th, 2012, when I started with the great, you know, the great Ricky R. Jones. You know that story. And then, of course, with Beverly Nation and starting the network on the day that my mother passed, 10 years after her translation, on February 4th, 2013. And since 2013, on that 4th of February, that outstanding afternoon that Dart Henderson had his first show, you know, my first ever host a long time ago, the legacy continues. I've never missed a night since that time. Never had a call out since that time. I've been on the radio every night for my people for almost 10 years.
That's
and I think that is very, very important, because you have to have consistency, because people are going to look at the leader. You have a fine leader here, and for real. And he's done through a lot of adversities. So a lot of adversities, and I really respect the man. He went through a lot of personal traumas, and which everyone knows, and as he mentioned here, and people who know him know the situations he's been through. And he's, has his outstanding, how can I say, examples of commitment to excellence here at Epiphany. And, you know, that's why I'm here. If I didn't really respect this network, I wouldn't be here. I don't take the time. My time is very precious. And I love what you guys are doing because it's you know, you guys, you know, have a living room feel. It's just like people coming together and having a good time, but you guys do it professionally. Not just about a bunch of random talk. You guys don't start your network late. You start on time and deliver on time and say goodnight on time. And that's very, very important.
Yes, sir.
Being able to really mentor people, Van, and being able to be able to be the house DJ for every single show, come up with soundtracks.
Right, right.
You know, there are different, right. Really go into the archive, really go into the crates and have, you know, magnificent soundtracks of our lives. And I'm very proud of that. I'm proud of our hosts, every single host at WBNN, from our interns, we just passed an intern, a brother by the name of Clef One, to our most tenured host, you know her as, you know, the informational guru, Miss Antonia Batts, and all the people in between,
Antonia,
you know,
Batts,
those people, all the famous and all that. So,
yes.
You know, I'm very proud of what, you know, the Almighty has done for me to be able to continue a commitment to excellence. And it's funny, because the people that know me around the world, I am one of the voters for the vote. I'm in the voting committee for the International Internet Radio Hall of Fame, and I decided to retire this year from doing that. This is my last year of voting. And you got a lot of people here that have really a great opportunity to one day, you know, be nominated. This is the first time the people on my network don't even know this. I got a call at 6 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time tonight because, of course, I'm retiring and situations. The people in Sweden want, you know, to try to keep me on. So I said, wait a minute, I told you that I'm retiring. I don't want to do anything else, you know, after this year. You know, and we're blessed to have two hosts on our network, you know, to be nominated, Paris Strength and, you know, the great, you know, Christine Jesus Powell. So they're nominated right there this year. And they said, well, we want to try to keep you here. And I said, well, what is that? And starting in 2023, they want to make me the hall curator, which means that's the person that, you know, writes off the certificates for the Hall of Fame and put their name on the Hall of Fame. And I'm so glad. Shout out to retiring Josef Goldsmith out of Germany. And they felt that the only person that could, you know, because of my diligence in the last 6 years, being an avid voter, we went through a lot of times, Van, you know, especially during the Zoom era where we couldn't travel to Stockholm to, you know, do our dissertation. But, you know, we've been in Zoom, and, you know, this year we do travel to Stockholm this year for that situation. So we'll be glad to get out of the country for the first time. Not first time since the pandemic leaving the United States. I'm very proud to be the hall curator of the International Internet Radio Hall of Fame. So not even people in my network yet. They don't know that yet, Van. They do not know. So this is the first time I'm making that announcement in the world right here at Epiphany. I will accept that, and my signature will be on every single certificate that's been given to all the people around the world. 23 people are nominated every year, only 13 get in. And my signature from now on will be on that, so I'm very proud of that. And that's just shows you the hard work from a person who's head of a network that's never missed a night.
Congratulations again, bro. You deserve it. You work hard, tirelessly. And I can't think of a more deserving person than yourself. I've known you.
Thank
for
you very
years.
Much. And I am the first African American, first African.
Yes,
the hall creator. So I'm very proud of that. First African person to be hall creator of the International Radio Hall of Fame. So I'm very proud of that.
That's just phenomenal.
And I can't. And like, trust me, when I get off this line, I got phone calls to make. Because remember now, my people don't even know, Van, that I achieved this. But I want to share it with you because I love you so much and love this network. And
man, I love
this. And it's recorded right here at Blog Talk. It's recorded.
Yes, it is.
It's on your show. So. Yeah, man.
Yes, sir.
So I appreciate
it. Yes, sir. Thank you, man. Thank you for coming through sharing yourself with us, you know, because it's not often that people hear you other than on your network and this on this side of the mic. So I'm honored that you came through. I'm honored that you shared the good news. That's what's happening with you. And listen, before you start making your phone calls, promise me this. You're going to grab a glass of that Dubai champagne before you start making your calls.
Well, you know what, though? I got to say this to all the folks out there listening. And Tiffany, I would decline that because I'm going to drink some Moet and Chardon. I brought my own bottle. There's only one champagne I drink, so.
I know that's right, man.
You know what I mean? But, yeah, I got to make sure that. But I want to say this to all the people out there. Continue. Do you hear me all around the world? Because this is an international broadcast. Understand that. You guys got to understand that, too. This is an international broadcast. Understand this, all people that have the listening ear to hearken. This network deserves to be in the tens of thousands, the millions. Tell a person to tell another person to call into Epiphany Network. This radio network, the For Real Network, is one of the people, and it's one of the networks with the people to get it done. They get it done, and they do it professionally. So, you know, because you know why I'm going to say it? Because Ngozi said so.
My man. Appreciate you, brother. Hey, man.
Love all of you.
And as you always tell me, there's nothing you can do about it.
And I'm going to tell you, like Brother Huni Bakatun says, I wouldn't want to.
That's right, man. That's right. All right, my brother. Appreciate you, man. One love, one mic. Love you too, bro. Man,
all right,
man, that's some great news that the brother done shared, man, and man. Oof.
Man, I came home from work. All I wanted was a beer and see someone twerk. It's Friday, and I'm ready to turn up. Single and no dates lined up. Gotta get in them streets, see what's popping. Can't let nothing stop me. Wait, hold up. It's time for Let's Talk About It. The radio show on Epiphany. Let's get it. Time to take my socks off and get comfy and do date night differently. Tonight's topic? You just have to tune in and see. Because there won't be no debate. Now tell me, can anyone relate?
You are listening to Epiphany Radio, For Real Entertainment Network. I am Van Meadows, a.k.a. Poetic. Take your socks off.
Dial-in number, if you're listening in online, is 319-527-6300. And please press 1 when you get here. If you're already here and you have not pressed 1 yet, why haven't you? I mean, after all, tonight's topic is a very simple topic. It's the hot seat. I'm on the hot seat. You can ask me whatever question you like, but the twist is you must be ready to answer that same question with my twist to it. So I hope you're ready. Next artist on the mic, we have our favorite Canadian, Lady A. Welcome to Let's Talk About It. How are you doing?
Hello. Wow. Great show so far.
Thank you. Thank you. Now you're here
and
to make
great,
it even greater.
What a great shower of honor that previous caller gave you. And it's true, and you're worthy of every word that he said. It was wonderful to hear that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Y'all not going to make me cry, y'all. You're not going to make me cry. You're not going to do that, okay? You're not going to do that. It takes a lot more than that. But But no, but in all sincerity, I appreciate those accolades. I don't do them for show. I do them because it's necessary. Because God wouldn't have any
other. You can tell the difference when somebody is honest and earnest in what their goal is. Like for your shows, you can tell that you have that true honesty, and it shows. You really shine that way. So it's nice to know somebody like you.
Aw, it's nice to know somebody like you too, Lydia. You're great yourself. You know that, right? You know that,
not
right?
Not really. Thank you.
Well, listen, I'm telling you that you're great. Okay?
Thank you very
Never
much. I appreciate
that. Never forget that. I don't care what somebody else has said about you. I don't care about that. Right now, in this very moment, right now, you need to know that you are great.
Thank you very much.
All right.
It's been
right
a rough
now.
Year for me in that department, so I appreciate those words.
You're more than welcome. More than welcome. So it's the hot seat. What question would you like to ask me?
I have a controversial question, but I want to ask it anyways.
Okay.
Remembering the past, cherishing where you came from, and that's the universal you, using it to better our world rather than staying in the past, brewing and perpetuating hate, do you ever see a time when black poets, black people, write about coming together with white people? Will they write about the effort to marry the two colors, which will bring forth unity?
Wow. Do I see a time that would happen? That's what you're asking, right?
Yeah.
I am a very, very optimistic person because I believe with God all things are possible. So I would have to say yes because
okay,
I cannot believe that God would give us all the trials and tribulations that he does. And for those of you that walk with God, should know that if you don't pass the test the first time, he keeps giving it to you over and over and over again until you pass. So I would hate to have to keep doing something over and over and over again without the same result. So if you feel it, one thing we can't change is our skin color, right?
No.
And here in the United States, you can see how our skin color is still a problem for white people, right?
It's horrible.
So we as poets, our responsibility is to put those things out into the atmosphere because some are afraid to and some won't. But does that mean that I dislike another race of people? No. I love all people. I don't like the ignorance of the race. But that's not going to change my love for them, right? Because God loves all people. God loves the saint and the sinner. He loves the sinner more. So if I'm walking with God and my mindset is, okay, God, I want to be more and more like you every day, then I have to love them equally as I love myself. So, the optimism in me is absolutely yes. I do see a time that we will be in harmony as poets as well. I don't know if I'll see it in my lifetime, but I'm hoping that we current poets can make enough of a difference to where that the future poets would want to be married together and thus bring about harmony. Because at the end of the day, that's all we want is harmony, but it's never going to be that easy.
Yeah, I I wish that it's very strange for me, because coming from where I come from, there is prejudice in different areas of our world as well, but you don't see the violence, you don't see the aggression like you do from the U.S., and it really hurts my heart when I see that, and I feel sometimes I feel certain shows I feel intimidated to call into them, because I sense there's I don't want to use the word animosity, but maybe perhaps indifference, like I don't belong there, or I don't belong to have any right to say what I say sometimes in my poetry. I'm just being honest, and there's certain shows I don't call into because of that, because you can feel that there is, just as you feel there's prejudice against you, I feel there's prejudice against me for being white. Do you understand that?
Let me say this. The difference between you and I is I really don't care what people think about me. So
yeah.
I'm going to call in. I'm going to say what I want to say through my poetry, because I have that God-given right, because it is a poetry show. And I don't really care
yeah.
who doesn't like, because I write for me. I don't
yeah.
write for everyone else. I write for me. I share what I write with everyone else. So you should never feel ashamed about something that you say in your poetry, because it's your art. You should never be
yeah.
afraid to call into a show, because, again, that is your art. If you feel a way about the responses, baby, let me tell you something. You are not going to please everybody all of the time. Matter
no.
of fact, you're going to piss off. You're going to piss off more people than you please more people.
Yeah.
And you know what? And you know what? So what? Maybe they need to be pissed off. Maybe they need to hear a different perspective. Maybe they need to hear what you have to say so that they can change their mindset, because that's what we are trying to do as poets.
Yeah. True. I'll keep that in mind. Because
now,
I think we all have something to say. Okay, I'm going to shut up now.
We do. No, you're fine. But I'm going to flip it. And I want you to respond to the same question, except I want you to be angry about it.
Well, when you say flip it, okay, be specific as to,
no,
do you want
you
me
respond
to speak
to
from a white point
question?
Of view, or how do you want me to speak
yeah.
to that?
No. I want
from
you to speak from a white point of view,
okay.
Same question, but I want you to be upset about it. And here's why I want you to be upset about it. Because everything that we endure as a black race, we have to be upset about it. Because if we're not upset
yeah.
about it, there's no change. There's no change.
Right.
So while the world perceives us as this, as these aggressive, angry people, when we look at the history and what has happened to us, I think
yeah.
we become passive aggressive. Because if we were as aggressive as everyone says we are, there would be a lot more cities on fire, unfortunately. But that's not what's
yeah.
happening. So.
I guess I can say that I am angry about certain things. I'm angry that you have to, the black people have to be afraid to walk out of their homes, to walk in different neighborhoods. I'm angry that, you know, people of color are stopped in their cars. They're arrested for nothing. I think that it's disgraceful, and it really does piss me off, because I'm old school like this. I look to the world with rose-colored glasses, and they get cracked so often that with the reality of the world and the reality of what you live in the U.S. just makes me sick. Because I really, honest to God, I really look at you, I look at other people as people. I don't look at people oh, he's black or, you know, Chinese or Hungarian. I don't look at the world that way. And I think that's, I look at the world, when I look at the world and the different ethnic origins, to me it's a gift because we can learn so much from each other, the different cultures. I think it's beautiful. It's a quilt of different people and their lives. But in the end, we're all people. That's how I look at it. And it really does piss me off when I see the prejudice out there. One thing I think it's important, it's like the Holocaust. We have to remember what happened during that time, the ultimate imprisonment of, you know, 6 million Jewish people, and altogether 12 million people, because they included the gypsies and First World War veterans and amputees and kids that were, people that were mentally challenged, and there were 12 million people that were murdered. And so we have to remember that to prevent it from happening again, just the same as you have to remember slavery. You have to remember the atrocities. You have to remember how the black people got here and what happened to them. And it has to be something that must be remembered in order for it to not ever happen again. But at the same time, my belief is that you can't sit in it and dwell in it and make it fester so that you continue to hate people. I'm not saying you, I'm just a general you. Because there is as much prejudice on the other side towards white people as there is towards white people is have towards blacks. Would you agree with that?
No, I don't agree with that.
No,
I don't agree
with that.
Yes, that part. And here's the reason why, because I'm around black people 90% of my day. I talk with other black people 90% of my day. And the only time that we talk about hate, quite honestly, is the hate that we have for us in our own culture.
Oh, wow.
Yes, we hate the things that white people have done and are still doing in this country. I don't know what's happening in your country because I don't live there. I live here, and I see every day some appalling and some stuff that really gets under my skin. But I refuse to allow that to make me hate an entire race, because white people do, not all, but some, majority, hate the entire race of black people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So no, I don't agree with that. But we do have to move on. But I thank you for the dialogue. I do.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Now, what piece of poetry do you have for us this evening?
I have a piece of poetry because earlier I think we were talking about relationships and what you want in a relationship. I've read this, I don't know if you've heard it, but I've read this before, and it's called I Want. I like this because it just says it all to me.
The mic is yours.
Thank you. I want passion and romance. I want to be kissed with abandon. I want your hand to brand my skin. I want to feel your love within. I want to melt in your arms. I want to drown in your eyes. I want to bend to your every move. I want to love only you. I want to miss you when you're gone. I want to wait for your return. I want my heart to skip a beat. I want to watch you when you sleep. I want to feel you skin to skin. I want to smell your man perfume. I want to hear you say my name. I want love from you exclaimed. I want sweet intoxication. I want ardent love unending. I want steamy torrid touch. I want it all. I'm not asking much. I say I want, but here's the truth. I need this love. No other love will do. End poem.
Oh, wow. I'm not used to little shorty shorts from you, I'll be honest. But there were power in those lines, talking about what you want and manifesting what you want through your spoken word and through your writing. That was a beautiful piece. It's my pleasure. Now, are you ready to get over to the VIP lounge to taste some of that imported Dubai champagne?
I certainly am.
All right, well, get on over there and stick around. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Thank you so much. And thank you for allowing me to speak about that, the question that I had. No. I appreciate it.
Quite all right. Thank you for bringing it for me. Ladies and gentlemen, on her way to the VIP lounge, that is Lady A. Man, okay, I see how y'all coming tonight. Y'all coming hard, and I love it. I love it. Next up on the mic, we have Epiphany's own one-half host of King and Queen's Quarters. We got Zuena, a.k.a. Queen Simmons, coming on the mic. Hey, Zuena, how you doing?
Hey, Van. Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I am doing wonderful. I'm enjoying the show. This is so refreshing. People are asking the questions that I had lined up to ask you, and then it took a turn when the gentleman before Lady A got on, and that was an experience. That was really great. So, you deserve all of those flowers, and it's amazing to see the evolution that can come from what's going on there, for sure.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. You know, I just try to be me, try to sprinkle me everywhere I possibly can, and hope that me sprinkling myself is creating more positive than negative, because I love positivity, and there's enough negativity in the world, so we all need some type of positivity, you know?
Absolutely true. That's absolutely true. That is so true. And I like the way that you handle every different conversation. You are so good at this. You know, I think that what he was saying about the discipline and your work and how it shows and, you know, the person that you become, you're amazing at what you do. You really are. I look up to you in this business, and I thank you for all of your counsel and guidance, you know, for sure. I want to let you know.
I told you, y'all not going to make me cry. Stop it. I'm honest, you know. Those words are amazing. You are amazing. I just love doing this. Every individual person is unique, is talented, and you have your own abilities that sometimes you just need to have somebody believe in you to open you up and tap into you. And then before you know it, it's like you're like a flower and you're just blossoming and you're blooming all over the place. And then everybody's like coming to take a smell and they're like, oh, my God, you smell so good. I just want to take you home.
That sounded like it was evolving into a poem right there as it was. So.
It was. I had to cut it off. I had to cut it off.
You're about to J-Rob.
I had to stop it because Mr. Automatic Charismatic is like, see, I told you could freestyle. I told you. And yes, Mr. Automatic Charismatic, if I'm very passionate about something, I will be able to poetically talk about it. But, you know, I just love the people more than anything. Expressing to Lady A, I love everybody. The crazy thing is, even if you do me wrong, I still love you. I just handle you differently. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Right.
Because hate is such a strong word. You have to be careful when you throw the word hate out.
It's a strong word. And, you know, affectionately, we shouldn't hate anyone. However, every one of us, I believe every one of us has a person in our life that we hate, we abhor, we have a strong disdain for. Whatever words you want to mm-hmm. tack onto to make it not sound like hate, I believe we all mm-hmm. have that. A person or multiple people, it's just you have to channel that energy a little differently so that it doesn't come across to every single person, you know. So
that's true. I believe that. That is very true. Yeah, I've been thinking about this conversation about something I was listening to on an album, and where you say kill your masters. And initially when you think of that, you think it's going to be a big race conversation, but it's really about killing the masters, the thing that you let control you, the things that you let control your energy.
Yes.
And I think
yes.
anybody that
yes.
you allow yourself to hate, yeah, anybody that you allow yourself to hate, you're giving them control over you. You know, that's your master now.
Correct.
So at this point, it's killing that master off in some way or another. And trying to make peace with that myself, you know, trying to make peace.
One thing that I absolutely love, I read a long time ago, probably when I was in my late 20s, early 30s,
mm-hmm.
I read that it takes more energy to be upset than it does to be happy. So
yeah.
I choose every day to be more happy than I am angry. It takes a lot to get me angry. But once I'm there, listen, I can go from 0 to 100 really quick, but it takes
Aries, hello.
Right, absolutely. It takes a lot, you know, but once
mm-hmm.
I get there, whoever has pushed me there, you just got to deal with it. You just got to deal with everything that's about to happen, everything that's about to come out of my mouth, everything that I'm about to say, everything I'm about to, you have to deal with it for that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Once
right.
I calm
exactly.
down, once I cool down, we can
mm-hmm.
have a conversation about it because I'm more calmer, I'm more level-headed. Just don't try to have a conversation with me after you push me to that point. That's not a good idea.
Right. Exactly. I feel the exact same way.
Yeah, you know, you got to let me cool down because one – Let me tell y'all something. If you have any Aries in your life, let me tell you this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you an inside track to Aries, okay? We can go 0 to 100 really fast. Really fast. In that moment, we will make some of the most impulsive decisions. But I promise you this, if you ever go to war, and Aries is who you want by your side because in those impulsive decisions, we will take shots
mm-hmm.
and ask questions.
Right, exactly.
We will have your back.
Exactly.
We will have your back. But we will
sure.
make impulsive decisions in those times where we've gone 0 to 100. Why? Because that is who we
yeah.
are. We will make decisions right. very logically, but
right.
impulsively.
Right. Logically,
okay, that's my
a lot of passion behind it. That is very true.
Absolutely. Ooh, absolutely.
Come on now.
Ooh, listen, you don't know how many conversations I've had with people, and they're like, bro, why are you so angry? I'd be like, please, don't confuse anger with passion. They're different because you don't want to see me angry. You know,
right.
I'm going to share this. When I used to teach children's church at my old church back in Rock Hill,
mm-hmm.
South Carolina, I had all different age groups of kids in the one class, right? They felt that it was a
mm-hmm.
good idea for Van to teach all of the age groups. Yeah, it's not that many kids you can handle.
Mm-hmm.
Ma'ams, sirs, do you understand that 3 to 5-year-olds learn differently than 6 to 8-year-olds and teens? Okay, but whatever. All right, I got it. Don't worry about it. I got it. So I would tell the younger kids, I would say, hey, listen, you don't want Mr. Van to get angry because I will turn green and I will start busting out of my clothes. Do you know that those kids to this day all remember me telling them, okay, we got to pay attention to the lesson because Mr. Van will get angry and bust out of his clothes. That was like the highlight of their Sunday school. That was the highlight. And I was just like, huh. But little do they know, I was really being truthful.
Right. I was so much truthful, right?
Like, don't get me mad because I'm going to get angry. my goodness. All
oh,
right,
gosh,
all right.
That's good. I'm going to use that one. Oh, man.
All right, Queen Simmons, what question do you have for me in the hot seat tonight?
What question do I have for you? Do you think you've written your best piece of work?
No. No.
Yeah.
And here's why I say no. Because we are ever evolving as people into something greater.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So for me to believe that I've written my best work, I would stop writing because there would be nothing left for me to write about.
Right.
So I pray that I never write my best work, because that day for me would mean that I would stop writing poetry, because what else is there for me to write if this is my best?
That's true. That's very true.
You know, because life continually shows me so much on a daily basis. I have some lines in my head that I have to get out that I'm thinking about right now, even as I'm doing this show. They will not leave me, so I know I have to get them out. There's no way I consider it to be my best. And I believe in one of my poems that I recently just wrote, I say that, y'all may remember, I said that making each poem better than the last one.
Yes, yes.
And that for me is my challenge, is I'm always saying to myself, how can I make my next poem better than the last one that I've written? But I never say great. I always say better, because I never think that I've written a great piece of work. I think I've written a better piece of work than the last piece, but never great. Because I don't want my ego to be overinflated. So I prefer to stay as humble as I possibly can, because a man with a big ego has nothing left to learn.
True. Lisa Jules, I love it. I love it. Thank you. Thank you for that answer. That was inspiring.
No, thank you. Thank you. So, Queen Simmons, now, of course, we got to flip this, right? I can't let you come in and just ask me a question and get away with it, right? So, for you, do you think that you've written your greatest piece of work? And if you haven't, what's stopping you?
I definitely do not believe that I've written my greatest piece of work. I feel like I am evolving on a regular basis, and I challenge myself to evolve. I get a little nervous because I feel like there's so much brewing in my head that I'm afraid to let out, almost. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like that Aries energy. I've learned to tame that serious Aries side of me, where you can go from 0 to 100. I go from 0 to like a 60, and then I stop. And then I imagine going to 100, and in my head I'm like, oh, see, I saved you from that 100. You don't know. You've been blessed, you know? That's how it is in my head. But,
listen, honey.
But
my
it's
God.
Because I come from a history of 0 to 100, a history of volatility, you know what I mean? And it's like
some
of these curses, we have to figure out a way to end them. So I fear what myself full tilt would be like, because it's been so long since I've kind of taken that, you know how like the corset holds everything in? I forget what book that was. I think it was Play It As It Lays. It was a book that I read a long time ago, and it was a woman that felt like she was holding herself in by wearing a corset every day. And she felt like if she took it off, her whole life would fall apart.
Yeah. You know what? Okay, so I have I have two things for you. Two things for you. You talked about you saved someone from the that other 40, that 60 to 100. You saved someone, and that's a blessing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. There is a song. There is a song called Blessings by Riley Lanes. I need you to listen to that song and then get in that 60 to 100 and write.
Okay. All right. Blessings by Riley Lanes.
Yes. And then write. And, oh, my God, I can't wait to see what comes from that, because you're going to have to tap into that Aries energy that you've been holding in, and you have to take that corset off and just let it out and allow your pen to just explode.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, all yeah, right. I can't wait. I'm excited.
All right.
Now that we've gotten that out of the way, what piece would you like to share with us tonight?
Okay, let's see. Do we want to change it up? It is date night. This has been a very weighty conversation. This has been school. This has been educational tonight.
It has, hey, man, y'all did it.
Every call
y'all
has
did
been
it.
A different. Yeah. So do you want to keep going down that road or do something, switch it up a little bit, a little sexy time stuff?
Ooh, let's do sexy time. Yeah, it's date night. I mean, you know, one great thing about intellectual conversation for me is it creates the sexy side. So by all means, go ahead, be sexy. The mic is yours.
Okay. Well, I thought you'd give me a chance to get to it. Okay. All right. This one's erotic. Okay. It's okay. Erotic is okay. We okay with erotic tonight?
It's part. We dating, right? We dating, right?
Oh,
tonight
okay.
We dating. So.
Okay. All right. I can't wait to hold you with both hands, to let the fullness of you drip through my fingers like ripe fruit. I want to get a hold of you, to know you full like self-actualized moon. I want to fall off the edge of every known wall in a free fall, hand sprawled, in reckless abandon of solid ground. I'd give anything to have you in my hands just now. Please pour into me. Imagine me on my knees. I await the chance to see you pleased with my mouth open, thighs slightly spread, my hands are tied behind my head, my breastless slightly as I breathe, blindfolded and at your lead. I'm golden, oiled from head to toe. Where this night may go, I just don't know. The anticipation making my rivers flow. I'm dripping naked on the floor, anxious, waiting, breath baiting, at the door open in hopes that you'll pour into me. Make me your masterpiece. Paint me in your trepidation. Let this body be your dominion. Do with it as you will. I submit to every desire you feel. Don't hold back my love. Conquer my shores. Sink into me. Explore the deep of my submission to being all yours. Your goddess, your solace, your harlot, your whore. I'm talking forehead kisses from the inside. Glide into my moonlight. Be free like Icarus, king of flight. Set fire to this shit. Make my desire your god. Take my chin in one hand. Brace my head in your other in my hair. Cover tonsils and bruises. Fuck air, I don't care. Pour into me. Go as deep as your imagination. Into my everlasting seas. My only objective is seeing you pleased. Seized in the grip of what these lips would do if they got a hold of you. Tongue out, deep breath, daddy wants throat sex, and I'm trying to be the throat goat. My pride gets bigger when I suckle forth your orgasm in rivers, insight, and body to rigor. Please pour into me. Fuck the need to breathe. Choke me as you stroke me, straddle backwards on a chair. Slam into these hams as you spasm. Growl out your second orgasm as you pour into me. I'm sopping wet. These are the moments that we don't forget.
changing states of matter, solid to liquid sex. You're wet, my wet, in a bed of sweat, but daddy ain't done yet. He decides to give me wings, or at least that's how it seems, the way he pushes back my knees. Now my toes are pointing at the stars, my fullness in the air. He covers my pulsating puff pussy in passionate sex of platitude. Push past my limits in ways that improve my attitude. I'm in the mood to be subdued, so pour into me. And that's peace.
Woo! My God. Y'all see what happens over here in the hot seat? You see what she did, right? You see what she did, right? My God, my God, my God. Pour into me. Daddy's not done yet. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know I love this piece. I really love this piece. This was fire. This is fire. Ladies and gentlemen, did y'all hear what Queen Simmons came in and tried to do? But it is date night. This is what we do. I'm trying not to get choked up. Y'all. I'm trying not to get choked up. It is a little hot. It is a little hot. You know, some clothes about to come off. Thank you. Thank you, Queen Simmons. Thank you for that rendition.
You are welcome.
Steaming up date night. And before I let you go over to the VIP lounge to get you some of that imported champagne from Dubai, would you please let people know what you got going on in Epiphany Radio?
Absolutely. So this Monday night at 9 p.m., myself and my co-host, King Atterbury, will be hosting the Grown and Sexy experience on King and Queen's Quarters. So slide through with your grown and sexy pieces, hear some music, some vibes, enjoy your time, 9 p.m. on Monday nights. Back to you, Ken.
Thank you so much. You know I'm going to get you for that, right? I'm going to get you for that beat.
Oh. Yeah.
Just be ready for it. I'm not going to tell you when, but just be ready for it. But
I'm waiting.
Get
I'm
on
waiting.
Over to that VIP lounge, and thank you so much, Queen Simmons, a.k.a. Zuena. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
Whoo, my God, my God, my God. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are listening in online, you have just a little over a minute to dial in to 319-527-6300 and press 1 if you desire to get on the mic. Otherwise, when the stream cuts off, you will no longer be able to hear the rest of the show.
Man, I came home from work. All I wanted was a beer and see someone twerk. It's Friday, and I'm ready to turn up. Single and no dates lined up. Gotta get in them streets, see what's popping. Can't let nothing stop me. Wait, hold up. It's time for Let's Talk About It. The radio show on Epiphany. Let's get it. Time to take my socks off and get comfy and do date night differently. Tonight's topic, you just have to tune in and see, because there won't be no debate. Now tell me, can anyone relate?
You are listening to Epiphany Radio, for real. Entertainment Network. I am Van Meadows, a.k.a. Poetic. Take your socks off.
All right, all right. Welcome back. Welcome back. If you're still hearing my voice, congratulations, you've made it into the overtime hour. They were listening online, but if they didn't dial in, well, they kind of got lost. But you're here. I'm here. Let's keep this party going to the next caller. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the other half of the Erotic Love Zone, the sexy voice diva herself, Miss VIP. Hey, Adrian.
Hey, Van. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Well, I'm good. I'm really good. Well, and thank you for the compliment.
I mean, you was you were summoned. You know, you felt that summoning.
I did.
Yes, indeed. But I'm so serious about that collab, though. Wait till I talk to Serena Butterfly. I am so serious. I'm gonna find the right Jill Scott poetic piece in her between her CDs, and yeah, we're gonna get that happening because I'd love to hear what that sounds like. Because y'all two do have some. Oh my God.
Her voice is very lovely.
Yes. Now. Welcome to the hot seat. Except I'm in the hot seat. Of course, depending on your question, we're going to see if you'll be in the hot seat. So tell me,
oh boy,
what question do you have for me in the hot seat?
Okay. Now, I have a feeling I know what you're going to say, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Does your past make you have thoughts prevent you from giving or receiving love?
Yes, it does. And the reason that it does is because I am not one to use the words I love you with anyone or specifically a woman that I am romantically involved with lightly. Because I feel like if you're in love with someone, and I do believe that love covers a multitude of sins. No matter what we go through, no matter what happens, because of the love that we have for each other, we should be able to work it out. So being as though my past relationships, the three women whom I was in love with, the in love for me was not reciprocated. Henceforth, why I'm not with them now. Because if you truly are in love with someone, no matter what we go through, we should be able to work it out. We should be able to work it out.
Right.
Because love is strong. And it actually comes down to the selfishness of it. You know, because you go from being in love and it's us to a, nah, I'm not in love no more, so I'm just going to worry about me. Well, you didn't left this other person on an island. You know, one thing I love about the military, is part of their makeup is they do not leave a man behind, wounded or not. We are not leaving anyone behind. That is what they go through. And I read a book. It's called it's by Steve Farrar, and it's called Point Man, and it talks about leading the family from a military perspective, not leaving your wounded wife, your wounded kids on the battlefield for the sake of yourself. So that's how I feel that when you're in love with someone, you don't leave them behind. You don't leave them wounded. You don't leave them injured. Even if you caused it, you don't leave them. You bring them along until they're strong enough to get back on their feet, and then y'all can continue being a unit. Now, Ms. VIP, we're going to flip that question back to you, except I want to ask about presently.
Oh, boy.
So is there a relationship in your presence that is keeping you from receiving the love that you know you desire?
Okay. This to me is a two-part for me. Because at first, no, you know what I'm saying? But in my present, I have the love I deserve. I have that. But there are some episodes that, and then I have to, like, really snap back, if you will, and say, no, it's okay. Got this. See what I mean?
I got you. Okay. Yeah. Okay then. Y'all heard that? She said, I had the love that I deserve presently. Ooh. And she said that. She said that with the neck roll and the eyes roll, y'all. No, I'm just playing. But I love that. I love that. And congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, what piece did you bring for us tonight?
This piece is untitled.
Okay. The mic is yours.
Thank you. You make me want to be a better woman. I say I'm pretty. You say I'm beautiful and brilliant. You've changed me, rearranged me. To someone my friends don't know, they see the glow and like the fact that I'm happy. Too many years after losing myself, only to find myself with a plethora of emotions, I thought were dormant, rising to the surface, leaving me in a state of wonderment. How I was lost, feeling hopeless, and your heart found me, never again to be lonely. A flashback hits once in a while, whispers of, you don't deserve love, you can't keep it. And for a moment, I want to cry, but I quickly rise up from that ash, like a phoenix engulfed in fire. Rising refined like gold. Looking in the mirror, I declare I'm deserving of love and more. Never again to be apprehensive of opening my heart. The past is just that. Now I'm receptive. My cup overflows. Love is mine. And that's it.
Ooh. The cup overflows and love is mine. Untitled. Listen, I see you. I see how you scribble. I see how you jot in. You're using one of those, using a quill pen. You know, you got the dipping, right? That's what you're using? You're old school. No, this is an amazing piece. And, I love pieces that are untitled because that allows us to put a title to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I put my own title to it. It was called Unequivocally Me. So, Dynamic Ink, I appreciate that.
Now,
you naughty girl. Can you let everybody know what you got going on in Epiphany Radio?
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, every Wednesday evening at 9 p.m., my beautiful diva, La Perla Negra, and I are in the erotic love zone. So as my diva aforementioned, you know, there's no topic as of yet, but, you know, y'all come on by because we have a lot of fun and it could go left 0 to 100 very quickly, okay, as everybody comes in.
I'm sorry. For real came out. Baby love. Baby. 0 to 100.
Yeah. That part. Mm-hmm.
Shaboing.
Oh my goodness.
I love it. All right. Well, listen.
So, thank you.
Thank you, and I can't wait till Wednesday. Hopefully it won't be storming and my power can act right. I wrote a whole piece and everything, but it's all right. It's all right.
Mm-hmm. That's all right.
But I'm going to get you over to the VIP panels. Absolutely. I can't wait. And you going to get you a glass of that Dubai Bubbly? Because there's a glass waiting for you. It's been chilled on ice. It's just ready for you. Ready for you to sip. Just go past security. Oh. Don't even pay attention to what's going on over there. Don't pay attention.
Right by Diamond and Man. Walking right by.
All right. All right. One love, one mic. Ladies one and mic. Gentlemen, that is Ms. VIP. Check her out Wednesdays, 9 p.m. here on Epiphany Radio. Man, listen, this party is going good, man. We are on our way to another Epiphany host. Ladies and gentlemen, we call him Mr. Tuesday Night, a.k.a. Iron Man. Ladies and gentlemen, Mojave, what's good with you, Hive?
What's happening, Brody?
What's happening, bro? How you feeling?
Late night. Listening to the show. But, you know, I'm going to hold my peace.
As you should. As you should.
I gotta say one thing, man. How you talking about beauty, but you acting like you don't see color? That's all I'm gonna say. I'm gonna leave that alone.
Appreciate it.
So shall we proceed?
Appreciate it. Okay. All right. I hear you, broski. I hear you, my brother. But, I'm almost afraid of this question. But, my brother, what question do you got for me in the hot seat tonight?
If you had to pick your favorite erotic poet to regale you with their favorite poems, you can pick three.
I can pick three?
You can pick three. I ain't want to make it too hard for you. But I'm going to give you three. And they can regale you in their various states of garb in a particular way that they love to perform. Who would that three be? And out of those three, who would you marry? F.
One question, bro. Uh-uh. One question, bro. One question.
It's an extended question. You can't tell me the rate of questions. You can't just say one question. It's an extended question.
I'll just respectfully decline the second question. But go ahead. Ask anyway.
We're not answering the question. Nope, I don't want to. You got to answer the question the way I ask the question. You got to do it.
Hey, bro. Hot seat. My show.
What's the
question? Give me the question.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Can you give me the question? What's the question? With three female poets, right? Erotic poets, right?
If you want to make a female, you can make a female. You know, however you want to do it. Anyway, but out of the three who will regale you in their various state of garbs, all right, out of the three that regards, which one would you marry, F, or kill?
All right, let's go with the three poets. All right. Oh, that's hard. All right, poet number one.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Yeah. Poet number one, Beach City Poetess. Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
There's something unique about her that matches my style, my erotic style, intimately and intently. That's for sure. Number two, this poet is because of the sapiosexualism that she writes within her piece, and that is Serena Butterfly. Number three.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. All right. Number three would be Lotus Love. Yeah, she has intimately through her ink, subliminally
said some things that caught my awareness. And the way she performs is very enticing and enchanting. So those would be my three.
Uh-huh.
Now, would you say who would I marry?
Mm-hmm.
You said who I would. Who? You're speaking as in marrying their ink? Marrying their ink, right?
No. Marry.
I'm trying
to redefine the question. I know what I said, man. I said what I said.
Wow. Okay. What were my options to get married? What were the other two?
Have and kill.
All right. I would marry Love Lotus, kill Butterfly, and the last one would be Beach City. Yeah.
You kill Butterfly? That's terrible, man.
You asked a question. I'm just answering it.
Oh,
now, my brother. Now, my brother. Since we want to be asking them type questions, it's my turn.
Try me.
Now, same question to you, my brother. Except. This is the twist. My questions come with a twist.
Question. The question you got asked. No, you got asked the same question I asked too. These
are rules. You've been listening.
No, sir.
You're going to ask the same questions in return with a twist, as every caller has done before you. You are no exception. I don't care how much you come here and try and bully your way and change the rules. Okay?
Go ahead, twist your question.
Same question to you, except you cannot name any one of the three poets that I mentioned.
Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Let's go.
Let's get to it.
You ready? You ready?
I'm ready.
Right? All right. So, the three that I would choose, right? I would choose Jason Moe.
Okay.
Jason Moe. Easy peasy.
Okay.
I would choose Amelia T. Davis. Right.
Okay.
And I would take the emerging, I would take the essence of the emerging poet of Edwina Simmons as an emerging poet as she is
good
writing
choice.
Erotic.
Good
after
choice.
I heard
good
that.
Choice.
And to say that, I wouldn't know how to handle it, but the F part, definitely. Jason Moe, the kill part, Amelia T. Davis. And Mary Edwina Simmons. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy, brother. Not the problem.
You are so cold. You are so cold. Just cold.
I am.
Just cold.
They were like, you going to go through this? I'd be like, you got to go. Like,
you funny, boy. You funny. All right. What piece you want to share with us tonight, my brother?
All right. I'm going to try this writing prompt. That I got from Sunrise Scribe. But I'm going to use, you know, a little bit of music, of course. So let's try that.
All right. The mic is yours.
What have I learned from my comfort zone is that I would stay too long, be in a place that I should have been gone, felt obligated, underwhelmed, misunderstood, misappropriated, underpaid, underlaid, undergood while being understated. It wasn't a good place for me. I stayed because of family, because I believed that no one would want me, because I didn't know me, afraid to be me by myself and heal properly. It was easy to accept ugly. It was the way that I felt about myself, channeling the little boy who hated himself, who pined for love, who was never clean, who looked in the mirror at himself and wished to be seen. That same boy as a teen, fiend for cool kicks and things, nice outfits and girls that looked like dreams, painted himself into a corner with the black shellac of his fears and learned to stay there for years. I found that the only time that I truly lived is when I had less than a fuck to give, when all was taken from me, and all I had was lint and my wits before I called it quits. I learned to stop listening to these negative Neds and Nancys who fancied themselves better. Because of this, I would take these letters and turn them into poetry, warm coverings like sweaters, or how I'm a go-getter, the can't stop, the won't stop, the Rockefeller records, I gets down, baby, I gets down, stop wearing my heart on my sleeve, press the fruit of my mind into a clear lens that seethed a self-loving wine. From how I used to speak to myself, to how I don't care what anyone else had to say, how they played. Once I didn't talk to a friend of me of 7 years, and I was still subject to his jeers and blame. I no longer want the fame, and now I let them take aim and shoot. I'm Luke Cage out in this bitch. I'm bulletproof, and I'm my only competition. I ain't got nothing to prove. My new comfort zone is this groove, how soul rhythm soothes me. The realness of my mental realness dictates the movement of my map to get up my comfort zone, and it might as well be called the trap. No more giving till I'm empty, or now I run for me and my goals till I'm empty, and that's where I'm at. My comfort zone is where I can match reciprocal energy, where I give me, me. Elemental, feeling sexy, consistency, connection, culture, with those whom I love and they love me surely, securely, freely. We do our best growing outside the box. I am a wild mind, an excited spirit, ignited in my own. This is my comfort zone. Boom.
Yo. First of all, I'm going to tell you that I hate you for this piece. I hate you for being so transparent. I hate you for reminding me of some things in this piece of why I stayed. There's a term that I like to speak for pieces like this, and it's beautifully painful. I'm listening to this, and I'm like, psh, yo, that was me. Yep, that was me. Yeah, that was me too. Worried about getting outside of my comfort zone after being married to somebody for 8 years, with them for 10, trying to figure out me again.
If you already have, and you already do.
Yeah, I do, but I feel where you went with this, man, and it's a beautiful piece of art. Through pain, it's a beautiful piece of art. And for that, I love it. Great work, Hav. Great work.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it more than you know.
Whew, man. Yeah, that was a tough one. But dynamic in its own right. So whoever gave you that prompt, whoever inspired that for you to write, to pull you out of your comfort zone, break down the shell,
kudos to them for pulling this out of you. Now, before I get you over to the VIP lounge, hey, man, can you let everybody know what you got going on this coming Tuesday?
Glad you asked me. Hold on. It's wild. Hold on. Oh, wow. yo, that's crazy. My thing is like, yeah, you might want to do this. I'm like, how am I not doing this? Like, it's blocking me from doing my own thing. It's wild. Let me see. Let's try this. Let's move it. Good evening, good people. Coming up this Tuesday on the 50 Ray Universe of Real Entertainment Network, where you can take your socks off. A baby, baby, we present to you Honeytripper 2.0, an erotic poetry podcast featuring some of the best poets in this realm of erotic poetry. And in this particular episode, we have Ebony the Goddess, Shante Renee the Poetess, and of course, Cloud Nimbus. Prepare yourself for beautiful, full-figured poetry on a whole other level. Here on the 50 Ray Universe of the Real Entertainment Network, sponsored by Raw Links, Why Be Average and You Be Raw. It is going to be fantastic. Come. Bring yourself some cold press shower, touch yourself, touch your neighbor. But most importantly, come enjoy the bounteous, beautiful, erotic poetry that's going to be presented this Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on the 50 Radio Universe of the Real Entertainment Network.
My brother, thank you for that, man. Man, you got these little promos going on within this show, man. I love it, man. I love it. Love it. Man, listen, I'm going to get you on over to the VIP lounge. The champagne is waiting for you. My man said that he's got, like, two bottles for you. So get on over there and enjoy yourself. There's a lot of people over there just hanging out. And stick around
all
and enjoy
right.
the rest of the show, brother.
All right. All right, then. Alrighty. Peace out.
Peace, brother. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Mojave, a.k.a. Mr. Tuesday Night, a.k.a. Iron Man. You heard him. Catch him this Tuesday, Honey Dripper 2.0. Next up on the mic, we go to one of my brothers who I look up to in this art we call poetry. All-around good brother for me. I hang on to every word that he says because he is a pillar of this community, even though he hides out sometime. But he managed to pop his head out every now and again and enlighten us with his work and his words. Ladies and gentlemen, I give to you my good brother, Joe, the Verbal Mind Dancer. What's good with you, my brother?
Hey, good evening, Poetic. How you feeling, brother?
Man, I'm feeling great, brother. How you feeling?
Oh, I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling good, man. The neighbors are throwing a little shindig across the way, man. You know, they got the
Hey, man,
and
tell them to give me some ribs, man. Some ribs, potato salad. Come on, man. Tell them don't do me like that.
Oh, man, they had a little live, you know, comedy show going on and shit. You know, comedians out there doing their thing and shit. All of them suck, but, you know, what can I tell you?
I know that's right, brother.
But I had a dip because right now they got the stripper, so I had to come on back in the house, man. It would be civilized for once in my life.
I know that's right, brother. I know that's right. I don't know if I'd have came, but the strippers came on, though. I got to be honest. I might have been, like, handing out some Bible tracks or something, but I still been looking, but, you know.
Yeah, I look for y'all young cats, man. I had my turn at the wheel, shit.
I know that's right, brother. I know that's right, man. Look, it's good to hear you, man. It's good to have you, man. I'm always excited when you're here, man, because I enjoy what you bring. A little nervous about this question, though, y'all. Y'all pray for me. Joe the Verbal Mind Dancer, give me a question in the hot seat. So y'all pray for me. But what question you got for me, my brother?
Yeah, this is easy, then it's not easy because, you know, I struggle with it myself. But, you know, when you decide to do a collaboration, how do you choose a collaboration partner?
You know what, Joe? This is actually an easy, easy question for me to answer. I never choose a collaboration partner. They always choose me. And here's why I say that. I don't generally reach out to collab with someone. They always reach out to me. And what I will say is I never turn anyone away. I'm always willing to write with anyone because I feel like there's something about them that I can benefit from their ink in trying to collab with them back. So I've never reached out to do a collab. To be honest, I'm sitting here thinking about it, and I've never done that. They've always asked me. But I will say this. I'm actually thinking for one of my future books to be an all-collaboration book where I will ask specific poets to collab with me. So you speaking actually into the future, so thank you. I appreciate that. Wow. Dang, Joe. It was hard, bro. It was hard. But now for you, my brother, let's flip it back to you. How do you choose a collab partner, and has you ever turned anyone down? That's the twist.
Well, yeah, that's a great flip question too. But yeah, I have reached out for collaboration. I've also been asked quite a few times for collaboration. I choose, you know, by their writing style. Can I fit that writing style? You know, can we actually blend plans, or are you coming from a different direction than I am, or you know, or even a subject matter? And yes, I have turned down a few because of subject matter, you know.
Gotcha.
You know, I don't always want to collab, and you know, we're doing some back and forth, you know, type of erotic things like that. That's fun and all that, but you know, when I want to collab, I want to collab on like a subject. That's something that can be, learned from two perspectives and then put out there like that. I like to write, you know, when I do collab, I like to choose, you know, writing partners with that frame of mind and want to do something like that. You know, I do like, you know, just straight out love or romantic. Yeah, that's fine. But, you know, when you get the heavy eroticism, I choose not to, you know, collab with someone on that. I have, but, you know, it's not really something I look to.
Got you. Y'all see why the flip questions are so important, because I never knew that about Joe. Like, I never knew that, you know, that particular part of him when it comes to his writing and collabs. Because you're an amazing writer, Joe. I mean, I don't know if anyone's ever told you that before, but you are an amazing writer. You is definitely one I would look for to do a collab with, and I would reach out to collab with you. Any subject matter, to be honest, because I dig how you write. I dig where your mind is when you write on subject matter. For me, it would probably be something along the lines of a conscious piece, because I see how you go in when you get to your conscious pieces. So look for that phone call, brother, when I ring your line. I'm like, Joe, look, I'm not coming with no erotic stuff. I don't want to be turned down.
Healthier than now. But yeah, man, yeah, most definitely, brother, most definitely, because, you know, I've observed your pen, you know, develop over the years, man, you know, yeah, most definitely. That would be an absolute yes.
Absolutely. Thank you, my brother. I appreciate that. So be looking out for that phone call, because it's going to come real soon, because that's the next area I'd like to explore, collabing, reaching out to people to collab, because like I said, I do have a book in mind that I want to do it. So thank you, brother. I appreciate you.
No, likewise, brother.
All right, my brother. Now, what would you like to share with us tonight?
Yeah, I got this little piece, man. You know, I was in a room earlier and I heard a prompt, but I already had the piece written, so I just added the prompt to begin it with, so, you know, I guess they know I cheated now, but anyhow, here we go.
No problem, bro. The mic is yours.
And the prompt was, being a person is hard. So here we go. being a person is hard, and it ain't easy being me. I'm not as popular as I seem to be. I mean, other than this poetry. My attention span could be measured in drams. Sometimes I can't grasp the love shown to me. My belief system is based on mysticism. Religion is for pigeons, for the gullible, for the greedy, for the beguiled. I live a loner's lifestyle, feeling abandoned as a child. Oh, the love was shown. And I had this need to be alone. I tried my hand at conformity. Tried to act normally, but my disdain for society had me deep within my shell. Yeah, talk about a story to tell. Well, mine is like living in hell. Rainy days are a comfort. It's a good reason to stay inside. There's no reason to lie why I won't come outside. Friends, not many of us have them. I was glad then, yet sad when I had to deal with life on their plan. You see, not only do I live lonely, I live with their dark stories, the things they told me. It just shows me maybe I should stay sheltered. I've dealt with some crazy things. And before changing my name, now all this social media fame, I'm still the same shy, introverted guy. Sure, I can talk the talk and walk the walk of my choosing. I could be losing wealth with myself because no one really sees me. Shit. That pleases me just fine, but I do care at times, you know, fit in, get in on the joke, get this invisible cloak that I wear. I've seen, but never there. Even at parties, I'm hardly noticed. I'm focused on leaving, grieving for the comfort of my bed. I dread even going to work, dealing with jerks. That, too, has its perks. But you see, I have this addictive behavior, and if I savor a good moment, I want to do it again and again and again, but life ain't like that, my friends. So I've created a world of my own. I can have anything I conjure up in my dome. The experience is much better than what I've been shown. So I'm unknown in the place I was born, torn by emotions, attention, deficit. To be honest, truly honest, I just don't give a shit. I carefully sever what won't be a benefit. Each one of you's been through it. Navigating life through some mental shit, I've made my decision of who this is, enjoying the ups and downs and just how it is. Poem.
Yo, did you really, really, really just break down why it's hard being a person? You really just break that down like that? That was the prompt, right? It's hard, but why is it hard being a person, right?
Yeah, it's being a person is hard.
Being a person is hard. Hey, man, nobody would know that you cheated, bro, because that sounds like a whole piece of fresh ink that you just wrote for that prompt and how you described the everyday struggle with just being an individual, just being a person, period. And just phenomenal writing as always, bro. Just, man, I love your pen, bro. I love your pen.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate that, man.
Nah, man, I appreciate you, man. Now I'm gonna go ahead and get you on over to the VIP lounge, man. There's a whole bottle with your name on it. They just brought that one out from out the cooler, man. And they said that no one can have this bottle. This bottle is for the verbal mind dancers. So, you know, get your own bottle. So, man, get on over there and grab you some and have yourself a good time.
All right, bro. Appreciate that. Thanks, man. I wanted to try some champagne.
Man, listen. From what I hear, it's good, man. Just, if you would be so kind, man, please make sure. I got one more caller, man. Please make sure that they save some for me because oftentimes I don't get none.
Yeah, well, my daughter owns a vineyard, so I'm going to tell her, you know, hook me up real quick. But thank you, brother.
My man. Thank you, good brother. Ladies and gentlemen, that is my good brother, Joe, the Verbal Mind Dancer. One love, one mic, bro, on his way to the VIP lounge. Man, phenomenal poet, man. Just, man, I love that guy, man. Next up is another brother that I love, man. This brother is my West Coast go-go brother. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Sincere. What's up, bro?
Peace and grace be with you. What's happening, brother?
Oh, man, you was happening, bro. You was happening, man. You here, man. I haven't got to talk to you for a minute, but I'm glad you're here, bro. How you feeling, man?
Man, I'm great. You know I'm a phone call away. Don't be shy. It's, brother,
I know
I'm not your top 10, but I could be in the top 20.
Hey, man, I know that's right, brother. I know that's right. But listen, man, a lot of times, you know, when I don't call, man, I be checking you out because your Instagram feed stay lit. If y'all ain't following the man on Instagram, let me tell y'all something. My brother stay lit. Oh,
hey, man. I just enjoy what I do and just enjoy life. You know, life is, like you mentioned earlier, life is hard and so much going on. I just enjoy my little job and just enjoy life, man.
Hey, man, that's all it is, man. And I love that, man. I love what I'm saying, man. You're always having a good time, man. And that's important. That's important, man, because life is too short. And you got to enjoy it while you can. You got to enjoy it while you can.
Yes,
so I appreciate you.
Yes,
I appreciate you for allowing us into your life when you post your pictures like that and this journey that you on. I appreciate that, bro. I really do.
I'm humbled by that. Thank you, brother.
Oh, man. Thank you, man. Listen, what question you got for your brother in the hot seat?
All the things you done and do or are doing, what motivates you to keep going, or is there a time that you just feel like, I don't want to do this no more? Have you ever decided you wanted to quit?
If we're being honest, right, because I asked, right, there are a lot of times where I say I just want to quit. There are a lot of times. I mean, but it's not just – it's quit everything. And primarily the reason I want to quit is because I want to already be a billionaire already. That way I ain't got to work so hard.
That part.
You know, but I'm not there yet, so I got to work because, man, I got kids that need
right.
me.
Right, that part, okay.
So I'm not never quitting until they don't need me. And my 26-year-old son right now lets me know that he still needs me, even though he's a grown man. So
that's right.
As long as there is air in my body and I got lungs to breathe and my heart keeps ticking, I'm going to continue grinding. I've said this before, that I have to build my kids' dreams until they're old enough and able to build their own. So that's
right.
what I do. That's why they're right. my motivation to keep doing what I do.
Amen.
Their smiles on their faces is my reward. You know, I don't need a pat on the back. I don't need the kudos. I don't need the thanks. Yes, they're welcomed, and I appreciate them. But their smiles and the fact that they don't have to come up living life the way that I came up in the projects in the hood, scraping, struggling to survive. Good times, easy pay the rent. I'm sorry, my bad. But yeah, the fact that God allows me to do what I do to make sure that they have the life that they have, I am so grateful for that. And I will always be in God's debt and gratitude for him allowing me to do so, because he didn't have to let me do it. He could have took me out several car accidents ago. He could have taken me
right.
out. Hell, my mother and father, they were kids when they had me. My mom was 16.
Right.
My dad was 17. She could have had an abortion, but she didn't up here.
Right.
So my purpose and my path was already set the moment that I was conceived. So I'm just thankful that God still allowed me to be here to do it. And that's
Amen.
And that's really where I am with it, you know. I give him all the glory, all the thanks, and then in the physical, I do what I have to do to make sure that I take care of my family. You know?
With love.
Thank you for that question, brother. But now I'm going to flip it back to you. I'm going to flip it back, and I'm going to give you a twist.
Bring it.
Because I know you. Because I know your story. Specifically, in that moment when you wanted to quit, you wanted to give up, what motivated you to just keep going?
His name is, God rest his soul, Philip Ardonia out of Quincy University, my classmate. And just like yourself, you guys have been following me for a long time. He read one of my pieces, and he called me. Matter of fact, he called me through Messenger, but he got a mutual friend that had my number. And when he told me he's been looking for me ever since we left college, that kept me going.
Okay.
I cried on the phone with him. And I told him what I went through and what I was going through. He said, you was never alone. Why even reach out to somebody? I didn't have nobody's number. He said, you could have found me. I found you. So that's what kept me going. And then when I found out he took his life, that kept me also going. I'm like, his story, I wanted what drove him to do that. And he was in a position of doing great things, and he decided to leave. So that part of me, when I have that moment of depression, I'm like, no, that's the easy way out, and I'm not going to take that. Not saying that was easy for him, but I'm just saying for me, my own point of view, I said, I'm going to keep going no matter how hard it is. God already pre-approved this of my life before I got here.
Man, that's all right right there. That is all right right there. That's all right. How many?
Let me add to this.
How many?
Let me add to that.
Go ahead.
When you reached out to me and you were the first one to read my work, brother, and I never met you, I've told you many times, you have been my biggest advocate, my biggest fan, my brother, and I am to this day in gratitude with you, with just you believing in me, brother. That's kept me also going. So I want to thank you.
Hey, man, it's my pleasure, man. Your talent is different. And that's one of the things that I'm grateful for, because nobody's talent is the same. But when we put it all together as a family, as a unit, I believe we can change the world. I believe we can heal the world. As we talked about earlier, as I talked about earlier with Lady A, I believe that we can inspire and make change happen. So, brother,
right,
there's an audience out there that is listening to you, that is reading your every word, that is inspired by you as well. So I'm glad that brother made you keep going, because there's someone else behind you who's looking up to you as well. So that's real talk.
I'm humbled by those words. Thank you, brother.
Absolutely. Now, my brother, what piece would you like to share with us tonight?
It's a Southern's dream.
The mic is yours.
American Pie, a Southern's dream. Hear her sound as she becomes a cry, as a pretense behind a grave. She said, maybe I'll marry half of you, for the dream of America is to become reliable into the hour-shaped design, offering refuge to the needs of her love three times over. Come ye, come all. She's open for foreplay. Behind the hills of crackers and whiskey, whiz from her grandpa's cursed brew. 85% ether. Either way, Dragon's Den costs a coat of armor for even dancing with the teller of a fox raven stare. A Southern's dream, a backward walk. Even enough of this, let me check with each person, folks, who want a man of transportation to transfiguration flow. With that entails truth at the highest spirit points, and the love to communicate with each other's souls when in doubt from what might be said from vampire's daughters. Epitome or empathy to a socialist demon trinity predator within said words, all of her scriptures of being rendered with her bag of fish sticks. Can you cook? Can you read? Can you be honest with a real life consumption of pure bliss from the third lips that don't kiss? Are you material bound? Are you money bound? Because we all need it for being sold or bought for the price of dating is to be in debt. A Southern's hope. Married in a princess dance, she made me think about what makes a woman, for all women have the same tender. Can you tender? Bind walls from commitment for juices out of her wall. American Pie, a Southern story. American Pie, Southern dream. That's that piece. Sincere from Los Angeles.
See what I mean, bro? See what I mean? First, let me say, brilliant art, dynamite poetry. And thank you for sharing that with us tonight, my brother. Thank you so
man,
much.
Man, thanks for having me, brother.
Man, thank you, man. Get on over to that VIP. Grab your glass of bubbly. Let me keep this party going. Ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
One love, one mic. My brother, Sincere.
One love, one mic.
From the West Coast. Next up, ladies and gentlemen, oh, my goodness, you would not believe who is coming to the mic next. We have the CEO himself, none other than author Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real, the poet Douglas. What's good with you, bro?
Baby, what it do, shebang? Van Meadows, what it do?
I'm doing good, bro. How you doing, man? You doing all right?
Man, I'm doing okay, man. I'm loving life. I'm living it, and you know, I'm dwelling within it. I'm feeling good, man. I'm loving the night's energy. You know, I'm digging the show.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you. Glad to have you here. But we're gonna jump right into it because you know, Lord knows I'm curious about this question here because hopefully we got time to answer all of it. Because, brother, you know how you be with your questions. So, wait, is For Real the poet asking the question? Neck Bones, Macaroni, Arthur Larry Maddox. Who's asking the question?
Larry Maddox will be asking the question tonight.
All right, my brother. Okay. What question you got for me?
Let me see. The question I would ask is, do you have a high tolerance to pain?
Wow.
Now.
Wow.
To further take you there, which means that have you ever gone back to someone that you no longer had feelings for, but the sex was so daggone good that you attempted to?
Okay. I do have a high tolerance for pain. since you went there, I do have a high tolerance for pain. Have I ever done that? Yes, I have. And I made it very clear to said person that this is just the physical nature of what is going to happen. I have no desire to be in a relationship with you, with said person, just to enjoy you and you enjoy me. And it was received very well, my brother. Honesty is a great thing.
There you go.
Now, my turn to flip it. My turn to flip it. I'm just going to do the one question. Do you have a high tolerance to pain? And exactly how high is that pain tolerance for the listening audience?
Okay, for the listening audience, at one time the pain, the level of the pain was at a high level. But after bumping your head enough, you know, that level has diminished. I no longer can tolerate. I have to fight with the inner me. The inner me and myself be at war with that type shit because I know what the final outcome is or what can be.
Nice.
So, no, I no longer have that same tolerance to that type of pain. No. And that's that piece.
Thank you, my brother. Appreciate it. Now we've gotten that out of the way, brother. I'm going to allow you to bless the mic this evening. I mean, I don't have to allow you. It is your network. You do whatever the heck you want to do. But
well, you can still allow me, bro.
My man. Well, go ahead, bro. Yeah. The mic is yours.
Thank you. She approaches me eloquently, as if carried by air. A gentle breeze lifts her, causing motion in silken curtains. Candles lit, they flicker, and the glow of the room slowly darkens the way she walked, spoke of long, exhausting, sensuous tales. Levitation. She levitated, communicating with me telepathically of a musical lover's escapade that would soon be made. This sexual musical interlude. She bends the shaft of my every being, residency seated upon me, veins swole to full capacity. I'm about to blow out an artery, give her cream bath, handful of her ass, fuck these silk sheets, sweating profusely, her grip, the way she's gripping me, got my heart beating rapidly. Mine ride dripping sapsy. My poetry can be so sappy. See, she be the audience that I spit this piece to. She hears me speak and understands it, says that she loves my cadence, the varietal in it. She then takes her hand and rubs it along the length of my microphone stand. Shit, the mic, she makes me drop it. Head full of her lips, I lost my grip, head tilted back in response to her musicianship. She plays me like a cello, her tongue tickling like soft winds, whispering sweet little nothings. She blows upon me like I'm a bugle. Hello, back arch, completely loving this symphony, the way that she conducts, orchestrates, the music she makes, the sounds that her thighs create as they clap under my weight. Sweet the sounds and the rhythm, the rhymes of her percussion accompanied by my woodwind instrument. Holding her like a precious violin, fingers fingering her strings, vibrating, acoustically fiddling, accordingly on key. Each tone in tune, grand is her piano. Nibbling her earlobe, she moaning now in high notes as I tickle her ivories, only the black keys though. Each stroke, I love the music, yo. See, the visuals that my artistic mind paints, love is the brush. I have no control over what it creates. These abstract bits of sensuality, oil silken coatings drying on a canvas undried yet. Her ink lies wet upon me. Her ink lies wet up against me, shredded. Ooh, that's that piece, show.
Yo, for real, the poet Douglas. Bro, just like I told you, the Verbal Mind Dancer, yeah, I'm going to need to collab with you, too. I'm going to reach out to you, too, for a collab, because the way you write, man, the way you just go in, it would be really interesting for me to match your performance, to match your energy, to match the depth that you give to your pieces. You give your pieces so much life.
Thank you.
Fire, bro. Pure fire, man.
Thank
just
you.
Amazing. Just amazing.
Hey, look, I look forward to it, man. I look forward to it, man. It's not so much about matching it. I think it would do a good thing because, you know, just like in a football team when you got that power abuser running back and then you got that shifty one. Hey, we
yes,
can
sir.
Do that.
Yes, sir. My man. I got you, bro. But listen, in this last minute, man, let everybody know about Raw Links, man.
Hey, Raw Links, healing gems, precious metals, stones, and crystals. Hey, it can be found right there on Facebook or Facebook. Ooh, Raw Links Be Raw on Facebook.com. Hey, just check us out. Why be average when you can be raw?
There you have it. All right, my brother, grab you some of that imported Dubai champagne. Don't worry about the bill. The accountant handles that. See what I did there? But ladies and gentlemen,
I see what you got,
brother. Arthur Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real, the Poet Douglas. One love, one mic, bro.
One love, one mic, bro. Baby, baby.
That's that guy, y'all. Join us tomorrow night for the Inspiration Factor with your host, Divine Inspiration, a.k.a. Paul Sampson. One love, one mic. Peace.